This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
今年も海を越えてあの熱いやつらがやってきた。新日本プロレスとアメリカ ROH の究極コラボバトル、オーナーライジングジャパン2018 Here we go。
35, I believe. I should always forget to check that before I'm recording. But on today's episode, we're here to talk about the New Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor Rising events that just took place over this past weekend. And I'm joined here by a first-time guest. I guess technically you were in the room for the Japan episode, but you added nothing to the conversation, so I did not let you consider that like a guest spot.
I was sick and I was jet lagged,
which is why
the second day there was like ready to collapse. That's why I wasn't ready to talk.
Which is why, like, it wasn't our second day there. What the fuck are you talking about? It was like our second week there.
The Dragon Gate show.
Anyway, the point is, he's here now to help me record this episode. I'll be nice and introduce you by your full name, Brian Quinlan, but I'm going to call you Quinlan throughout the episode. So
it's not my name.
It is.
Are you sure we're recording this time?
Yes, I'm sure we're recording. So he's in the room with me, folks. This is a rare episode where he's actually in the room with me, which is cool. You know, it's a cool thing. But we're here to talk about the Honor Rising shows. I talked about you a bunch on the show before. If people forget, like, you came up a lot on the Ring of Honor.
Because I was your chauffeur for those shows.
The Growing Up Ring of Honor episode. Talking to the microphone.
There's still so many stories you haven't told about that yet, but that's for another episode.
Well, we can talk a little bit, because, okay. Like, this is about Ring of Honor. Supposedly, these are Ring of Honor shows. I know,
I forgot. There was, like, three guys on the show, so.
Yeah, so we watched that show together today when you came over here. We had watched
I watched night one last night.
That's what I'm saying. We watched the first one separately. We're going to talk both of those shows. First of all, I guess you could talk your history as a wrestling fan, Mr. Quinlan. I always do that with new guests. How'd you get started as a wrestling fan?
I started as a wrestling fan in late 98, I think. And everyone was talking about, you know, the Stone Cold Mike Tyson feud, and I started
That would have been
watching,
like, April 98, buddy.
But I started watching that fall is when I finally... I started watching in August. I tried to order SummerSlam 98. It didn't work. So my first pay-per-view was Judgment Day.
Did you know I was there?
I know, you've said that many times. Which had the main event of Undertaker and Kane in, like, one of the worst matches ever. But I didn't know that.
What a show to be your first pay-per-view.
and
that match fucking
I think
sucked.
The only good match on that show was D'Lo Brown and X-Pac, like, had like 3 stars, and like that was it.
If you want match quality, you probably shouldn't start with the Attitude Era.
No. Well, that's when everyone was watching, and looking back now, I go back and watch those shows sucked at the time. They were absolutely horrendous.
The
matches were
bad.
2 seconds long. They all ended with DQs. The announcers never talked about them. They talked about whatever storyline was the main storyline, but yeah. But I kind of got out of wrestling around, like, what drove me away was that fucking, what drove a lot of people away, the invasion of WCW.
Yeah.
Which was horrendous, so I stopped watching. And then you kind of got me back into it in 2004.
Yeah.
And then I started watching more than you did. And then you start taking me to indie shows, or you took me JPW.
Jersey All Pro Wrestling.
Because Vader was there, and
Ring of Honor.
And then Ring of Honor, which was like that first Ring of Honor show. I'd never seen wrestling like that before. The main event went 1 hour, 15 minutes between.
It was
two guys I never heard of, like Brian Danielson and Austin Aries. Who are these guys?
We went to the show, and this match was taken forever. And I'm sure people loved this match. I've never gone back and watched it, have you?
I probably love it too, but at the time I'd never seen anything. So, they even announced the wrestlers won't mind if you leave. Because this match is going to take a while.
We left the room and went out in the lobby and played Yu-Gi-Oh. Yeah. Do you remember that? That's what we did. We were such cool kids.
And Marcos, we went out talked to and us played.
Yeah, Marcos have done it. Marcos. We decided we were sick of this match. We wanted to play some fucking children's card games, and that's what we did.
Yeah,
we played some Yu-Gi-Oh. I wonder what decks you were using at the time. Using Zombie Chaos at the time? Maybe.
I was probably using a really shitty deck because I hadn't been playing that long. So,
but yeah, so this is Yu-Gi-Oh! Chat.
No.
I was just watching Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged the other day. That show holds up, everybody.
Yeah, it's the only really good Abridged. So.
No, Sailor Moon's good.
I never watched that.
Sailor Moon Abridged is good. That was the only other good one. All the other ones are fucking terrible. But yeah, so we're here actually to talk about professional wrestling.
Yeah, so as I was saying...
How'd you get into Puro, though? That was me too, I think, right?
What?
I was the one who got you into Puro Wrestling.
You mean like Japanese wrestling, stuff like that? Yeah. Well, it's because Ring of Honor started booking people from Japan.
No, before that I was like, I was showing
you. Yeah,
you
were
Noah.
Showing me like stuff like Dragon Gate, stuff
Noah.
Like that.
Noah. I was really into Noah in like 2003 and 2004.
The first guy I saw was Liger when they brought him in for Weekend of Thunder.
Yeah.
And then I never knew I'd see him live like 50 more times after that. I thought that was like my only chance.
But yeah.
Obviously it was not. And then I think it was December 2005, before they got the Dragon Gate guys, they got Kenta Marufuji. They were amazing.
No, they got Dragon Gate first, because they brought Shima to Buffalo.
The first time we saw Dragon Gate.
I saw Shima.
In 2006.
I saw Shima in Buffalo.
Okay.
I went all the way to Buffalo to see Shima.
And Curry Man was there. But he's retired, I think. But, yeah, Kenta and Marufuji were at that show that was like 5 minutes from your house at the time. And Milano was on. They started booking Milano too.
Yeah.
So
my favorite wrestler of the time.
And then I remember you were so happy. He was wrestling like this venue was like 5 minutes from where you lived. So.
Yeah, Edison, New Jersey. Like I've talked about this before. I probably could have walked there in like a half hour or something, 45 minutes. Like it's really close. So it was a very, very close building.
And then we went to Chicago for WrestleMania weekend, and I was front row for that awesome Dragon Gate match.
Yeah, although not the best.
Was not placed at the best part of the show. It was like right before the intermission, so the crowd was dead tired and weren't in the mood to see an hour main event between Roderick Strong and Brian Danielson. Even though that was an awesome match, the crowd was just like completely dead, and the match was going on forever. But so yeah, and then you know that. Like, the greatest match I've ever seen live of all time was Brian Danielson Kenta from, I think it was September 2006, where it looked like, you know, Brian, if he retained, he would pass the one-year mark as champion, but he had the shoulder injury.
By the way, you completely, like, glossed over the fact that we saw Joe Kobashi in 2005.
Yeah, but I didn't really see it because I was in, like, the eighth row and could barely see anything.
I was in the first row.
I was in the building, but that crowd was so insane. Like, people in front of me kept standing up and these fans were not the skinniest fans in the world, so they took up a lot of space and view. Not that I'm much one to talk, but like they, especially the one of them, the guy sitting directly in front of me had this giant afro, and he was really big, so I could not see anything. Like every time he stood up every 2 seconds.
Do you know where I was for that show?
Yeah, I know you're from Ro.
Samoa Joe kicked me.
Yeah, I know.
on camera for the rest of eternity with Samoa, in one of my favorite matches of all time, with Samoa Joe just kicking me right in the face in the middle of the match. It's awesome.
Well, I saw Mare Fuji defend the GHC title against Nigel. I was front row for Misawa.
Yeah,
so
Misawa.
Misawa was awesome. In Philly, I was in front row.
And in New York, we were in the balcony.
Front row, though. Yeah.
Misawa was awesome, too. I mean, God.
Yeah, he was great. That match with Kenta.
Was awesome.
It was the only chance to see him for us, so. Yeah. Because, but
I mean, Kobashi, too, because we retired before we ever made it to Japan.
There's and I did see New Japan for the first time in Ring of Honor, New Japan, which people probably want to forget that fucking tournament.
Best in American
Super Junior. We talked the Japanese guy won, and the whole crowd was like, "What the fuck is this?"
I loved it. You remember the time I was into it? I was like, "Yeah, Dragon Soldier B."
I was like,
"You were really pissed."
The whole crowd. It's like, okay, there's eight people. There's one Japanese guy. It's Best of the American Super Juniors, and the Japanese guy won.
Everybody knows how much I hate America, so I was happy.
But I think you went over what happened, like New Japan screwed Ring of Honor over or something. I think Jamie Noble ended up going over there anyway, but that was like the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
I love Dragon Soldier Bay. That was Kendo Kashin. God bless him. Anyway. He's gonna be in a tag match in All Japan in a couple of weeks.
That's great.
Him and Fujita against Suwama and I think the other Okada, maybe? Uh-huh. Suwama and somebody. But
Then I stopped going to Ring of Honor and became. And then you. I wasn't really a New Japan fan yet.
Maybe that was Misawa team. I don't know. Anyway.
Took me to that first War of the Worlds show in Manhattan that had, I think the main event was Okada, AJ, and Elgin in a three way for the title and Nakamura versus Kevin Steen, which. You know,
match was awesome.
Yeah, and then they say on SmackDown, it's the first time they ever wrestled. I'm like, you're fucking lying, but okay. But
remember what you said remember when Daniel Bryan on commentary?
Brian Sexton, it doesn't count. It didn't happen in WWE. It doesn't count.
Yeah,
that includes NXT, I think. But So then by the next year they came. I was a huge fan of New Japan, and I think a lot more people were. I remember. That year, like, the crowd kind of liked everybody, but the year later, like, when Nakamura came out and his autograph line was, like, out the freaking door, like, people and Okada and everybody, and then, you know, and then
from Bullet Club Mania really started to.
Yeah, and then they've come back every year, and although they don't have a date announced, they'll probably announce one at Manhattan Mayhem for War of the Worlds. And
are you going to that show, by the way, or no?
No.
They announced some like fucking 8-man tag or something. Yeah, I was like, that sounds pretty stupid. But I'm gonna be in Spain,
Someone's on that show from New Japan, I think, though. But someone that's also a regular in Ring of Honor. I just remember saying, oh, well, that one guy's there, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
I mean, I saw the card and I'm like, yeah, I don't give a shit. So, especially the prices, I'm sure, are really high.
Yeah, it wasn't sold out last time I checked, but it probably is by now.
Yeah, maybe they'll do another shitty War of the Worlds show and we'll go to that just to see the New Japan guys live.
What was
the last couple of years have sucked.
What was the... I don't even... What the... Oh, yeah, last year
had
fucking,
the one good match between Ospreay and Jay White.
And it had that fucking Young Bucks against Naito and...
Yeah. And the year before that had that stupid three-way with a Buck and Cody, I think, or somebody, or Adam Cole versus... Ishii and Okada versus I forget who else, like Jay Lethal and somebody, and I'm like, this is the stupidest thing.
Yeah.
But and I've been, you know, I started subscribing to New Japan World, and you know, I'm a big fan now. And
what year did you start subscribing? 2016.
I was watching before that. I was watching through other means, but as soon as that came, I subscribed to it. And I watch all the shows, even the Young Lions project,
yeah. You just don't watch a lot of other Japanese wrestling, though.
I
watch everything.
Yeah, not really.
But, like, I'm very excited for DDT tonight as I'm recording this, but I know you're probably not going to watch that.
I mean, I used to watch a lot of Noah, but I used to buy the DVDs.
Noah's
at,
been
like,
awesome lately.
I used to buy the DVDs at the Ring of Honor shows, you know, back when Misawa and Morishima, but I tried to watch Noah a year ago, and it was so horrendously bad.
Well, a year
I
ago,
heard it's better now, yeah. But...
No, a year ago was...
Before Suzuki-gun showed up, I saw the show that I swear to God you couldn't tell me there are people in that audience, because I've never seen a quieter
show. Okay, well,
Suzuki-gun
era sucked, but the Suzuki-gun era has been over for a year now.
Okay.
You should give it another chance. It's been way better. I mean, it's not my favorite promotion, it's still DDT, but it's still up there. Alright, so let's talk about these two shows, though. So, before we were going to record this, I thought you were still watching the Ring of Honor Weekly TV, but then you told me you weren't anymore.
No, I'm not.
So, the two of us really have no idea what's going on in Ring of Honor, I guess. Like, I don't really...
I read, like, sometimes reports and stuff.
It's just kind of like the Bullet Club
show.
Yeah,
so
they're feuding with
without Kenny Omega. So
oh no, now they're feuding with SoCal Uncensored too. I think
I don't. Yeah, they're doing that stupid thing with the 6-man tiles, except where it's like the entire Bullet Club can represent three people.
Yeah.
So I guess everybody in the Bullet Club is champion right now, including like Fale and Tamatanga and Young Bucks.
Kenny and Cody
yeah. And Hangman Page and Chase Owens and like Hikaleo. Bone Soldier, is he going to show up and is he champion too? We don't know.
Yeah.
That's so stupid. But
well, anyway, so the point is we don't really, if we sound like we don't know what you're talking about when it comes to Ring of Honor, it's because we barely do, because we don't really watch it. But these shows were barely, I mean, these shows, it was hilarious that they made it look like a Ring of Honor show for the first time, because like there was like nobody from Ring of Honor on these fucking shows.
Yeah.
There was the Bullet Club people that are in New Japan all the time anyway.
Yeah.
There was like Hangman Page, Young Bucks, Smarty Scroll, Cody. But like beyond them, it was, you're really just talking about Dalton Castle, Beer City Bruiser, Jay Lethal, Chucky T, who was just there in December.
Cheeseburger,
who was just there in January. Like, there really wasn't...
That's really it. Yeah,
yeah, that was pretty much it.
And
so,
Flip Gordon,
who fucking sucked, as we'll talk about, and Delirious. But yeah, I mean, not a ton of guys.
Well,
so
Jay White wrestled for them for a while.
Yeah, that's
true. He's a New Japan guy.
But yeah, I mean, these felt like New Japan shows with a few guest stars.
Yeah.
Like, these really... It was... The only thing that would really make it feel Ring of Honor-like at all was, the look of the show, which they did a good job this year with, like, really making it, like, it looked so heavily like Ring of Honor. Like I was saying last night on Twitter, it was actually kind of disconcerting to me to see this, like, all black and these guardrails and stuff in the middle cork, and it just looked weird and bad and like it didn't belong. But yeah, it was cool though. I mean, the look, I guess it was different, but at the end of the day, it just felt like New Japan shows to me. Would you agree?
Yeah. You'd forget, like, the opening match, night one, didn't have a single Ring of Honor guy in it. So,
yeah.
So
let's talk about we'll start with the opening match, which was of night one. Toa Hanare and Katsuya Kitamura losing to Bad Luck Fale and Yujiro Takahashi. I thought Hanare was awesome in this match. I thought he showed, like, great fire, and he was, like, really fucking getting in there and, you know, just like, he's a great fiery baby face. I really liked him in here. Kitamura, I thought, had a rough night. He was he was like out of position a lot, and he kind of fell down randomly right before the finish. But Fale, of course, pinned Kitamura with the grenade and 720. It was good opener though.
Yeah, it was fine. What did Fale hit him with that I think there was like a little awkwardness with Kitamura's kicking out or something? Or am I imagining things? I thought like he hit him something. Oh no, he hit him with something, and the story was that would usually pin him, but it took one extra move, and that's the experience he's earned.
I guess so.
It took one extra move for Fale to beat him.
They were putting that over on the commentary,
I mean,
but
he
hit him with a move that would never pin anybody. It was like a spear or something, I think.
He's facing Nakanishi.
Nakanishi at the end.
Who he's already faced. Why?
Yeah, okay.
Is it because Kojima's hurt?
No. This is why you should watch the backstage comments after the shows.
Okay.
And I tell this to everybody all the time, because they set this up in the backstage comments where Nakanishi told Kitamura he wanted to face him one more time because he thinks he's really on the verge of breaking out, basically. And he's like, well, I think you know, I want to give you a chance to face me one more time. I think you can beat me.
Do you think Kitamura will beat him?
No. It's but his
last match on the way out.
I doubt it.
It could happen. He said the same thing about Okada Naito, and he was right about that. But,
yeah, fuck off. Everybody was wrong about that except for you, I guess. Yeah. Match two was Jushin Thunder Liger, Delirious, and Cheeseburger defeating Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, and Hikuleo. Delirious pinned Hikuleo in 7:08. It was a weird-ass finish. It was basically like...
This match was pretty stupid,
They kicked him down, and like... I don't know.
Hikuleo selling like for a cheeseburger was so stupid.
I mean, look. When it was like an extended squash for the Tongans for a while, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
And then Cheeseburger did like a hot tag that was like almost entirely dodging.
Yeah.
Like he would just jump out of the way of everything and like, you know, not basically not get caught, which is, I thought that was really cool. But yeah, other than that, I mean, finish was really stupid.
Looking at this match when I saw it booked, I'm like, well, Hikuleo's taking the fall here, but he's going to get pinned by either Liger or one of these two doofuses. And I mean, not that I love Delirious, but you know, he doesn't really wrestle. He's become a joke again. He just jobs all the time.
Delirious coming in, and like, at one point he chopped Hikuleo, and then he just says, Hikuleo doesn't do anything. He just goes, shit! And he turns away and like tags out. That was awesome.
I mean, Delirious was awesome back when we were going to Ring of Honor when he was feuding with Bryan Danielson and everything. He was great back then, but now he's just really a part timer. And you know,
during like the height of Chikara too, he was really good.
Yeah, he was really good in that. Yeah,
yeah.
But
yeah, so that was a pretty stupid match. I'd agree, but the stuff with Cheeseburger dodging was cool. It was also very obvious the Liger trio was going to win, because otherwise
they'd look stupid.
They'd look stupid going into the turf.
They have to win unless they're going to make him look like they have no chance the next night. So
the next match was Juice Robinson and David Finlay against the Young Bucks. Matt Jackson got the pin on David Finlay in 12:05 with a milk
driver. This was really good, I thought.
It was too much of a Bucks Ring of Honor match early for me. Like they were just doing like a lot of their spotty shit that I'm not really that into. But once it calmed down, I thought it was pretty good.
When going into the match, I thought they might do a storyline. I thought it might be interesting if like Finley rolled one of them up and pinned them like 2 minutes into the match with the story like their heads aren't in the game because they're so upset about. But obviously, you know, when at the end of night two, that, you know, that wouldn't have made sense after what happened there. So that was fine, yeah. But I thought they might go ahead and do that and give Finley a win and, you know, have, like, you know, do that storyline. But they went somewhere else, which is actually better. So, this was kind of just like another Young Bucks Ring of Honor match in a way. But I think Finley and Juice are really good.
Well, once it calmed down and became more like an actual fucking wrestling match, I thought it was good. I was just worried early on the first few minutes. And I get it, because they're being like more spotty than they normally are in Japan, because it's supposed to be an ROH show, and like the crowd was not a typical Japanese crowd either. Like you could tell these are people who are into the idea of seeing a Ring of Honor show in Japan, because they tried to like imitate us with the chants and stuff. At one point when you and I were watching today, you were like, "Don't do that. Don't try to be."
They didn't do This Is Awesome.
And they didn't.
They
probably didn't sit there like doing their fucking goddamn comedy routine the entire night, like half the fucking fans of Ring of Honor shows.
They didn't chant "You deserve it."
You deserve it.
The only time that's ever worked, I think, was that recent NXT show where, do you know the story of that, where Adam Cole set up two chairs like next to each other, and he changed the setup of the chairs when he had the perfect chance to slam Aleister Black, and because he did that, Aleister Black countered and hit him, and the fans chanted "You deserve it," because, you know, he fucked up. And I was like, that's the one time. Other than that, because
they were sarcastic,
"You Still Got It" is a stupid ass chant.
They chant that for an interview?
They did that when Undertaker came out on SmackDown to do a promo, and I saw him pause for a second like, what the fuck is wrong with them? But then he kept talking and no-sold it, but there was a pause like, these people are so fucking stupid. But the worst one is "This Is Wrestling." That is the worst chant.
Well, look, in case someone's like flipping through the channels They don't know what they're watching.
I prefer Change the Channel.
Change the Channel. We were there for that.
Yes, we
that
were.
That was awesome.
We should and we went back and change the channel.
And then
channels.
We turned out, we watched it on back on tape later, and Tess. Chad's like, oh, well, look at who on Spotify.
That was
like, I don't think that's what they're saying. That's not what
Well, he knew that. But, yeah, this is I mean, the best reply to that was when we were at that Ring of Honor show and Brooklyn, and then some other fans start chanting, "That's a roller coaster."
Oh, yeah.
You can see the coaster from there. It's like, yeah, let's all point out things we can see. But yeah, I'm glad they didn't go. I remember last year, I think they chanted, "This is awesome." I don't mind that too much.
That
but they use it too
that,
much.
Yeah.
It should be like during like the greatest match of all time.
Now it's like, oh, is it three?
Every time
a match
is kind of cool, let's chant it.
All right, so next match was, okay, this is a big one.
Yeah, here we go.
The fucking three-way, Kushida, Hiromu Takahashi, and Flip Gordon, the fucking Flat Earth Troop.
Yeah.
You didn't know about that.
And you're sure it's not a gimmick?
No, it's not a gimmick. He was on Twitter arguing that the fucking Earth is flat. Like, okay,
what
you
is
know
his
what?
Argument? Why would the government lie about that?
Because.
Why are they, what would be the point?
Okay? There's a reason.
It costs a lot of money, so why? Like, whenever people come up with these crazy
why
conspiracy
is the entire world in on it?
Theories,
like,
why, yes, every country in the world.
Like, America?
When America and Russia were ready to nuke each other, but let's, priorities here. We have to keep everyone thinking the world is round.
Yeah,
like,
okay. Now, Soviet Union, I know we completely disagree with your way of life, and we want to eradicate you from the world, but we gotta keep this fucking flat Earth thing going.
Yeah.
All right, it's too funny.
Yeah, like...
this round Earth thing going.
Imagine how much money it would cost to keep... Like, why? And whenever someone comes up with a... I don't want to get into this too much, but whenever someone comes up with a good, like, this crazy-ass conspiracy theory, you have to give me a reason why this conspiracy would exist.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for this.
Well, the reason is all the nations of the world think it's fucking funny.
I guess.
I think I don't know what
the greatest prank of all time.
It's like, yeah, I don't know. Have you ever heard that story about that guy who was trying to build his own rocket, who said the Earth was fucked to prove the Earth, and he keeps like backfiring and not launching? It's like, I wonder if some of his calculations
are off.
Might be a little bit. I'm surprised. Like, this is apparently the 8th time it failed. So it's like, you think his family members would be like, okay, it's time to give up the ghost here.
No, these people that believe this stuff, I know people that are related to me, they get really mad, they get really, like, defensive. Because I think deep down they know they're being stupid, but anyway.
But yeah, so I don't, to be clear though, I think it's funny that he's a fucking flat earth troop. Like, that he's just...
I just think he's an idiot.
He's a conspiracy theorist about the government, but he's like,
he works for the government.
But like... if he's a good wrestler, I wouldn't care. And I haven't seen a lot of him. So
How long has he been wrestling, though? Is he new?
I don't
know.
You're asking the wrong person. But I probably had seen him once or twice, but not... I don't know if I... Was he on those...
This is the first time I had ever seen him in anything.
I've seen him, I think... Wasn't he on those Global War shows from, like, last fall?
Was he?
I think he was.
Was he in, like, the Battle Royal or in a dark match?
No, not the ones we went to. The one in Chicago. With Kenny and, because I watched this back later. With Kenny and Yoshihashi?
I didn't watch those
shows. Okay, well,
so
I did. So I think I saw
him. I'd never seen him before in my life. All right, so.
Well, the point is, I didn't know anything about him other than the
Neither
fact that
I.
He,
Either
his name is Flip.
I heard he does flips. That's all I knew.
First of all, though, I have to say, if this is supposed to be, like, a authentic, like, Ring of Honor experience, Hiromu should not have been booked.
Mm-hmm.
He should have just done a run-in on a heatless tag team title match. Because they didn't fucking do anything with him the entire time he was there.
This match, you know, I looked at this. I thought the match was okay. You really hated it.
I thought it was okay. Oh,
but
I hated this match.
When you look how Hiromu Takahashi and Kushida are in this match,
yeah.
This match shouldn't be okay. This match should be, like, unbelievable. Like,
yeah, Hiromu and Kushida, how many, like, amazing matches have they had last year?
The Dome...
to be fair, I got the feeling that they weren't trying that hard either.
Well, I think the match was made to make Flip Gordon a star. Like, they gave him a lot, and he was just like, yeah, he did flips,
and he
screwed a couple of them up.
Yeah,
so.
Like, he's supposed to be good at that. That's what he's supposed to be good at.
And
like,
if you notice, night two, he didn't really get a reaction coming out. Like, the crowd was like, you didn't impress us, buddy.
It was, one of the worst debuts I've ever seen.
I wonder if this will change any plans to put him in the best of the Super Juniors.
I hope it does.
I mean, maybe he just had a bad night. I don't know.
Like, first of all, he botched like a dive to the outside. And then the worst one was like right before the finish. He's supposed to do like a springboard and like, I guess like a cutter or something on both of them. And he completely fucked it up and like fell on his fucking face.
He wasn't the only guy from Ring of Honor that weekend that fucked a bunch of shit up. But we'll get to that later.
But yeah, he really sucked. And like, this reminded me a lot of like a fucking ECW three-way. I don't mean that as a good thing.
Yeah.
Or it was like Spot. And then spot, they three of them laid, yeah. Like, three, oh, Spot, Rest, Spot, Rest, Spot. Like, just the three of them lay around waiting for the next spot. Then the camera zooming on one of them waiting for the next spot. It was like, just, ugh.
I mean, I hate
this fucking
match. Maybe giving the benefit of the doubt, maybe he just had a bad night, but, you know, I'd have to see another.
He fucking sucks.
Because night two, he didn't really do much, so you couldn't really tell from that.
But this match really sucked.
Yeah.
It was really quite terrible.
It was probably.
And
I didn't think it was as bad as the second
match. I gave it one star.
I didn't hate it that much. But
I really hated
the
it.
The fact that I should give it a low star because the fact it should be not all right with those two.
I know. So. All right. So the next match was the six-man tag team match. Dalton Castle, Jay Lethal, and Ryusuke Taguchi. They took on the Chaos team of Jay White, Beretta, and Chuck Taylor. Jay White used the Blade Runner on Taguchi in 10-10 to get the pin. The funniest part, did you see when Taguchi had those like chicken fingers?
Yeah.
They sell at the Cork and concession. They were trying to give them out like as a peace offering to his team, and like Kevin Kelly like said something like he must have gotten those at the at a combini beforehand, you know, like a convenience store. And it's like, no, that's the Cork and concessions.
Yeah.
Apparently, Kevin Kelly never went over the Corrigan concession stand. But yeah, it was
there.
I liked it.
It was
all
right.
Yeah,
like, nothing really memorable about it. Like, you know.
Look, Chuck Taylor and Ryusuke Taguchi had like a ducked walk off, basically,
yeah,
at the start. That was kind of funny. And Chuck Taylor got very mad. I thought that the Jay White and Taguchi exchange at the end of the match was pretty.
Yeah,
good.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, so. I mean, again, that has nothing to do with Ring of Honor.
No.
Because it's turned to Japan.
Nothing really had to do with Ring of Honor in this whole show.
Yeah. But yeah, well, except the next match.
Yeah, well.
The next match was Hirooki Goto defending the Never Open Weight Championship against the Beer City Bruiser. What a weekend the Beer City Bruiser
had. Oh, God, yes. Imagine, like, being told, you know, Flip Gordon, no one's going to give a shit about him. But by the end of the weekend, the fucking Corking crowd is going to fucking love Beer City Bruiser. And be like, okay.
Look, I said this on Twitter. First of all, he's a name searcher because he went and found all my tweets about him and, like, retweeted them all. But I don't care if you're, like, a name searcher, if you're just retweeting positive comments. It's the ones that, like, fucking name search and get mad when they find out that people on this earth might not like them.
Were you using his Twitter handle?
No, I just said
because I only get like, I mean, I've been favorited by like Kenny Omega and Eric Young, but I use their
yeah, well,
Twitter handle,
that's different,
so they just see it.
Yeah, that's
but,
not
so I don't think they're searching. So,
but yeah, so Beer City Bruiser. I mean, I said this on Twitter, but again, some big fat American coming in for a random title shot. That's fucking Puresu, you know?
Mm.
That's old school Puresu.
Yeah.
Like, here comes some big, fat, fucking
Vader,
American.
Albert, you know, all those.
Who's going to get a fucking title shot. And I thought it was, I mean,
Didn't Big Daddy V wrestle in,
yeah, in
All Japan for
yeah.
a while? But I saw this match booked, and I said, you know, this could be very interesting. It really plays into the never open weight.
Yeah.
Because now it's like a super heavyweight facing for it. So, and, you know, this match could be interesting. I didn't think this match is going to suck.
And
I thought this could be interesting.
And Goto's really good. Like, people forget because he has a tendency to randomly lay an egg, which they were talking about that.
Yeah.
On the Voice Wrestling flagship the other week. And
I love Goto. But
I do too, but he once a year, he'll just come out.
Yeah, that I remember that title match he had with Okada where he had the body paint. That was just like,
that was really
there.
Bad.
Yeah.
And the match for Evil, this, like, I don't
yeah,
know.
Well, that... I was. It didn't help that came after the junior title match. That did not help that at all. Like,
yeah.
I don't think any match could really get the crowd into it at that point. But he had that match with Suzuki this year, which was awesome. The year before, People seem to have forgotten his match with Shibata at the Dome.
Yeah, that was really
that
awesome.
Match was fucking awesome. It's just that the two matches that came after that were also like unbelievable. But that was like I would give that like 4.5,
but yeah,
4.75.
So Hiroki Goto is really good, and the Beer City Brewers. He never really gets a shot to show it. I don't think in Ring of Honor.
Not really.
Like he just is kind of.
When
just
I used
a
to
guy.
Watch the shows, he'd just be in the ring. He'd always be in a tag match. He was usually just at ringside for Silas Young matches. Every once in a while, he'd have a tag match. He'd do a couple things. He'd get pinned, basically.
I think it's really funny that this guy comes over. He's been in Ring of Honor all this time, and he spends 1 weekend in New Japan. They book him better and use him better than Ring of Honor ever used him in all these fucking years. But yeah, so he did a flip senton off the fucking apron like a minute into the match that was way more impressive than any fucking move.
This
what
match
Gordon did.
Was so much better than Tanahashi Billy Gunn. Like, not even close. And the other one featured Tanahashi, so what does that tell you? But yeah, this
was like they just kept, you know, they collided into each other like you'd expect. Yeah. Beer City Brood's like spit beer in his face for some offense, which was awesome. I thought it worked. Like, Hiroki Goto, in a weird way, is kind of like the Japanese working man, you know? Like, he's very, like, gruff and manly and, like, you know, he has that same kind of, like, working man quality to him. So it was kind of like the Japanese working man against the American working man.
Yeah.
So it kind of worked. And, like, at one point towards the end, Beer City Bruce, like, countered, like, I think Goto was going for like a power slam or something into a fucking Northern Lights bomb.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's a sentence I never thought I'd be typing. Beer City Bruiser hits a Northern Lights bomb.
Oh, there's another sentence I've never thought I'd think in the main event, but we'll get to that. Yeah.
And he came off the top rope like 4 or 5 times.
He did that a lot. Yeah. He was like, well, this was the biggest match of his career, I'm sure. Like, not even close. Like,
But yeah, this match only went like 13.5 minutes and. Like, but it was fucking awesome.
I'm really
end.
Glad they brought him over the Briscoes and all these other people. He was great all
and then,
weekend.
And then Bruiser hit like, they had like a lariat battle at the end, and Bruiser won the lariat battle. And Goto did like a fucking flip bump, which was, for a guy that big to do a flip bump, that was really impressive. But yeah, and then Goto got the headbutt, the GTR for the win. I gave this 4 stars.
Yeah.
I thought this was fucking awesome.
I can see that, yeah. It was
so,
an awesome match.
Goto and the Beer City Bruiser, 2 thumbs up. For the Beer City Brewers. He wasn't done, though.
He wasn't
done. But then the main event, which was a 6-man tag team match, Kenny Omega, Kota Ibushi, and the honorary lover, Chase Owens. The golden lovers and the honorary lover against Team Cody, Cody, Hangman Page, and Marty Scurll. Crowd was really into that golden lovers reunion.
If you told me that one day, in the main event of a Corkin show, there'd be an exchange between Hangman Page and Chase Owens, and the crowd would be going fucking nuclear for it, I would have called you a fucking liar.
Yeah.
Like,
Adam Page and Chase Owens.
Chase Owens are going at it in the main event of Kirk and Hall. The crowd is going shit. Like, I was like, oh my, what, where am I right now?
But they really went crazy for the Golden Lovers.
Yeah, well, that was the highlight.
Yeah.
That whole match.
When they came out,
that was like the biggest reaction I've heard, like, in Kirk and Hall.
So Cody had like the greatest fucking pre-match freak out at the Golden Lovers chance. He was like losing his goddamn mind.
The problem is he started wrestling, but
Cody Rhodes should not be good. Okay? I think it fits his character for him not to be that good. He's the 3-star savior, just like Kenny Omega.
Do you remember
said,
your Ring of Honor podcast you did a few months ago where you spent the whole show burying him?
What
I just said, you said like a million times.
I've come around on him because his character work is so good that it doesn't even matter to me anymore that in ring, and you know what, and he wasn't that bad in the ring in either one of these.
Not
shows.
In this match,
he did blow a few spots the next one. But I thought he was good. There was like an awesome moment where Marty like had Kenny Omega's fingers ready to do that. Fucking stupid finger spot.
And he couldn't do it.
And like he was like having the moment of doubt. He was like, should I do this?
Now, these matches had really good stories.
Yeah. And Cody was like encouraging him to do it, and he didn't want to do it. And then he also like refused to do like the when Cody and Hangman Page were going to like do that the Terminator dive thing, Marty was like, I refuse to mock his silly movie dive, good sir. And, like, refuse to do the fucking Terminator Dive.
Are you turning the page on Marty too? Is this what
I like Marty as a fucking dipshit. Okay. That's why I like Marty. I
you
talk
really
about
hated him for a while.
I think he's. I don't think he's that good of a wrestler. I don't think he's good as like a serious junior heavyweight champion, the challenger.
Matches,
but as a fucking complete idiot,
yeah.
And as this fucking dumbass, basically, which is what his character is now, I think he's funny as a dumbass.
Okay.
He's like the heel to Gucci. He's like a complete dipshit and like a.
Taguchi is
still,
a really good junior.
Yes, Taguchi is really good. I stole that from Kara on Twitter. She was the one who said that, I think. But yeah, I mean, like, Chase Owens was like a really good babyface in peril. Mm-hmm. I tweeted that Chase Owens, he's another name searcher. Because I tweeted out Chase Owens, unsurprisingly, was a really good babyface in peril. And he responded to me and said, I was trained by Ricky Morton. I was like, I know, that's what I was getting at. But he doesn't do it very often.
I didn't
often.
Actually know that until he was trained by Ricky Morton.
But yeah.
Makes sense.
You know, so obviously the Golden Lovers were awesome in this match, but like, I really thought Chase Owens was really great.
Yeah,
Chase Owens had a great match here. I thought like he's obviously not a guy that gets a lot of main event spots.
No,
but like you were saying, that Owens Page like fucking exchange with the, where the crowd's going nuts, that was awesome. Owens did like a humongous like rebound lariat on Page towards the end, that was really awesome. But yeah, and then after that, Page, after 20 and a half minutes, pinned Owens with the rite of passage. I could go 4 flat on this, too. I thought it was really good.
I thought this match might have been slightly better than the Never Title match, but just a little bit. Like, if this was 4 stars, that match was 3 3/4 for me, maybe. But they were really close. It's really close to call with these two. These two matches were great. And I think I know a lot of people were saying, you know, if Hangman faces Jay White next for the U.S. title, it's going to make it go below the Never title. But I think after this weekend, I'm really looking forward to that match. And I think other people might be too. They did some great angles going into that match. And
Page,
I think
Page
Hangman Page is. I've liked Hangman Page for a while. I think he's really good. And I wouldn't mind seeing him in the G1. I don't know if there's going to be a spot
for him. He's made progress. I like him more than I did.
I don't see Biercy Bruiser being put in the G1. I know people are...
I want that.
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind seeing that. I don't know if that's happening. But, like, I don't know if... Would you think he'd be able to go, like, that many nights in a row? Like, I don't know. Like,
he did two.
He did had 3 matches in 2 days. Yeah, so, I mean... And he didn't... He didn't really... I didn't notice him getting, like, blown up too bad or anything. So, he must do good on his cardio, but...
But yeah, so that was a good overall good show.
I'd rather see him in the G1 than Taichi.
Taichi's awesome.
If he's in the fucking
shut
G1,
your fucking mouth, Taichi rules. You're not allowed to slander Taichi on my podcast. All right, time to get into night two. Before I say anything else, though, there was a little pause here between night one and two, and if the night one audio still sounds weird compared to the night two, I think I fixed it with a tempo change for the most part, but like, I know Quinlan, you didn't want me to fix it at first because you thought you said your voice sounded cooler.
I guess
you sounded like all like low pitched, and it was like a project rate thing. But I don't want to re-record 48 minutes of audio, so it sounds okay now. But just we probably sound a little bit weird on the first half of this episode. But
I guess
whatever. Night two, though. Let's talk about night two. It starts with
our buddy
Toa Hanare against the Beer City Bruiser. Bruiser won in 4:25 with, you know, his top rope was apparently called the Milwaukee Best Splash.
Really?
Because I guess because it's like a brand of beer. It's like Milwaukee Best something.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I was wondering why the fuck this match was so short at the time, and
we found out later.
Yeah,
it was fun.
It was a fun little 4 minute match. Yeah,
Beer City Bruiser is really over there in Japan. He's become a star, like, over one weekend, I think.
Yeah.
So, maybe he'll be back. I hope he is. I mean, he was back after this.
He should be in the G1.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Sure.
But yeah, so then...
Maybe something interesting, something different. You know, put him in one block and Yano in the other, and you got, you know, at least one interesting match every night. You know.
Match two was a 6-man tag. Jay Lethal, Juice Robinson, and David Finlay defeating the Bullet Club of Ujirio, Chase Owens, and Hikuleo. Lethal used his elbow drop, which I believe he calls Hail to the King, on Hikuleo in 6:35. This match was fine. It was just kind of pretty short, just kind of there.
It was really short. It, you know, came, went, you know. Hiko, you know, needs more time. But Hiko Lay is like getting better. Yeah.
I don't even know if he is getting that much, but he's like really, he's really awkward in the ring.
He is,
like,
because he's humongous. He's like 6'8" or something.
Yeah,
something.
And he just doesn't have any presence.
Yeah, for a guy so tall, he has like no presence. It's weird.
And I hope he improves, but so
I think he still might be nervous. Maybe I don't know. I mean, they did like throw him in there with like almost no training because someone got hurt, and that's why he. Who was it?
I think wasn't it Kenny?
I think it might have been Kenny, yeah.
Match number three was my pal Flip Gordon and Ryusuke Taguchi losing to Romo Takahashi and Bushi. I don't know why there might be like a little sound there on this episode.
That'll be fine.
Hiromu, you know, got the pin on Flip after the MX, like the. It was like a Doomsday MX because he had him up on his shoulders.
Flip came out and the crowd didn't really seem to give a shit about him.
Yeah, because it was like, well, the first thing, it was like, we saw you fucking suck.
You did nothing to impress us, buddy. Yeah. Sorry. And they didn't really, they went to the crowd and, you know, started like brawling. This wasn't like,
I mean,
it wasn't like a spot fest. They kept everyone kind of grounded.
Flip getting his ass kicked all over Cork and was a much better use of him.
Sure.
Than him fucking botching a million moves on the first night. Then he decided to have like a phantom leg injury, which is always fun.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, my leg. But, oh, my leg's fine now.
Yeah. All of a sudden, he was, you know.
I mean, it was better, though, because he wasn't blowing every fucking spot he tried.
Yeah.
Like
he
was the first night, but. Yeah, I still don't ever need to see him again.
Yeah, maybe he bases his flips on calculations for a flat earth. And that's why I kept
watching. That's why I saw J.R. Goldberg made that joke on Twitter.
That could be the reason.
Match number four was the never open weight six-man tag team title match.
Yeah.
Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa successfully retained their titles, their second defense of this reign against Jushin Liger, Delirious, and Cheeseburger.
Don Callis is great when the match starts, and Kevin Kelly said they might, you know, win. And Don Callis is like, "Are you serious?" And I was like, "Yeah, thank you, Don." Like, I don't think they're walking away with the titles. Like didn't I think Delirious? Didn't they? Like, didn't he challenge for it with some other wacky team last year with like Ghetto?
Some other wacky team. They challenged the
when
the
right, everyone knew
Los Ingobernables had them. But yeah, so this match was okay.
I'm sorry, but whenever. I like Cheeseburger. Whenever I see him wrestling and some guy, especially a big guy, is like selling for him, it just looks so like ridiculous to me. Like, you know, it's like
it's like, funny.
He's
though.
Hurt. I mean, Tama Tonga was like no selling him, but at one point when he jumped to the ring, Fale was like, "Bleh!" It's like no, I'm not like
But yeah, this match was okay. While like it was funny when Cheeseburger was like the Cheeseburger Protection Agency at the start of the match.
Yeah,
he protected what's his name, the fucking ring announcer. I can't remember the announcer's name, but you protected him from Bad Luck Fale. It was like, okay. But yeah, and then the only like really bad thing in this match was when Delirious is in the corner against Gorilla's Destiny. He got like really weird and awkward for like a solid minute. I don't know what they like lost track or something. They weren't the only people on the show to do that, but yeah. Other than that, it was Cheeseburger's flash pin attempts at the end were really cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed those.
You know, it was a pretty inconsistent match, but the end of it was fun at least.
It was what it was supposed to be, you know, wacky six man.
Match number five was the Hung Bucks, as they are apparently called, Hangman Page, Nick and Matt Jackson, defeating Jay White, Yoshihashi, and Chucky T. Now, if they were gonna win anyway, why the fuck didn't they just make this a title match?
Yeah. I didn't think about that till now, but yeah.
I mean, can the prestigious Ring of Honor six-man tag team titles not be defended?
Or maybe they forgot them. I don't know.
No, they had the belts with them.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. That's why they came out with their belts.
Oh, yeah. Then why didn't they?
I don't
know. That's weird, yeah.
Like, why not have another title match? But yeah, so Hangman Page got the pin on Jay White with the Rite of Passage. I was pretty surprised they went so far as to give him a direct pin over Jay White.
They need to get him over somehow because.
But he's got like a million pins.
Yeah, but I think it really helps to have him get a pin over.
I thought he was going to get the pin, but I thought he was going to pin Chucky or something.
For one thing, until just looking at this match, playing the part of Nakamura in this match was Yoshihashi. I completely fucking forgot he was in that match. It's kind of like, you know, that might change now that he's won the Rumble, but you know, like. The tag match, you know, he had recently against Owens and Zayn. I forgot Nakamura was even fucking there. This match, like, Yoshihashi was in this match. I have no memory of him being there. He, like, just disappeared into the mix. But, Well, and the finish, you know, that post-match was weird where the Young Bucks didn't want him to beat him. Young Bucks are heels. Why do they lay people out all the time. Why do they give a shit if he beats up Jay White? That was so strange.
So, you're getting a little ahead of ourselves here. The match itself was good, though.
Yeah.
It was kind of a typical Hung Bucks, like, spot fest kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, like, the post-match, you're right. Like, it was a little weird. Hangman Page, like, he grabbed a chair and he was trying to, you know,
And Jay White, like, has been killing people. Like, he, like, did that thing in Hanari where he wouldn't stop elbowing him.
And David.
He deserves it. Like, why do you give a shit, Young Bucks? That was weird.
I thought they were just trying to show that there's dissension in the Bullet Club.
But I don't understand why Young Bucks would all of a sudden be like... Be like, you know, protectors of the, you know, truth, justice, the American way. No, this is wrong, and I won't stand... Like, when do you guys give a shit? I don't...
It was pretty weird. But yeah, it was... Page did it. They left, though. But then they just leave.
And then they just... And then Page is like... I just remember, we don't care. So then they just left, and yeah.
And then Page gave him the rite of passage on that chair anyway. So I was like, okay.
But I thought Hangman Page would be joining... No, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with this Bullet Club thing, but we'll see. Yeah, I think that match... I'm looking forward to that match now.
Yeah,
it will probably happen in Long Beach, I'm guessing.
I'm going to be there.
Card isn't out yet still, but that would make sense.
After that, it was time for the Dalton Castle vs. Beretta Ring of Honor World Title match. When suddenly, out of nowhere, the Beer City Bruiser...
And out of nowhere, with Beer City Bruiser is hard, but
he just kind of appeared in the ring.
He just appeared, and
he grabbed... Okay, so he grabs a mic, and he says something like how he told his nag wife, which is perfect, the Beer City Bruiser has to have a nag wife.
Yeah.
He told his nag wife that he was going to come back to the greatest country in the world, the United States of America, with gold. So he was adding himself to this match. And they brawl at first. And at first, it's really stupid. It's like, why?
We forgot to mention his match with Hanari. He kept yelling at him, I want to fight.
Oh, yeah.
I want to fight. Let's fight. Fight me.
I don't want to wrestle.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah. And so all of a sudden, this becomes a three-way.
No, no, but okay. So at first, that seems really stupid. But at least they had the champion, like, the champion was ultimately made a three-way.
Yeah.
Like, because they were fighting, and then Dalton Castle, like, grabbed the mic, and he just said something like, you know, I want to kick your fat ass or something.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on, sorry. Oh, okay. He said something like, I want to kick your fat ass, so let's do it.
Because I was wondering, if they make this a three-way, why doesn't people just come out for every match, for every title match, and say, I want to be in it, okay! Like, at least, like, Dalton said, no, make it a three-way.
Yeah. Hold on one second. All right, but yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know what the deal with that was either.
He was great.
Okay, well, before we get the match,
maybe it's because Beretta's kind of hurt, and, you know, they thought they wanted a third guy to help, like, carry the match.
Maybe they just didn't want Beretta getting pinned by Dalton Castle, but they don't give a shit about Dalton Castle.
But why not Beretta's, you don't give a shit about Bruiser, you mean?
No. I'm saying they don't even think highly enough of Dalton Castle.
Oh, you mean New Japan?
To want him to get a pin on someone that's a regular.
But Beretta's about to leave anyway.
So yep, for a little while. He's probably just going to come.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Jay Lethal was on commentary on the English feed, and he's putting over this Ring of Honor World title. He's like, oh, the most important belt in wrestling. You're on a New Japan show, first of all. I guess
New Japan slash Ring of Honor show. He works for Ring of
Honor. And Beer City Bruiser's fighting for this title when he just added himself to the match. Would that ever happen in IWGP heavyweight title match?
No.
For someone to just come out and be like, I'm going to be out of this match.
America's different.
I guess.
Shit happens all the time.
I mean, it happened for the IWGP Heavyweight title at the show we were at, actually, in America.
Yeah. It's an American thing.
It's an American thing.
Who was it that demanded to be put in, AJ or Elgin?
I think it was AJ.
Okay.
I think it was supposed to be Okada versus... Or AJ. Elgin. No, it was supposed to be...
I think it was supposed to be Okada versus Elgin.
Yeah, and AJ...
And AJ added himself. I don't remember.
Well, anyway, so... But this match is awesome.
Yeah, this match is great.
And another 4-star match. 2 4-star matches.
From what I've heard about the Ring of Honor World Title matches lately, I think this might have been... I mean, I remember hearing Cody versus Suzuki really sucked.
Yeah.
And
it did. I saw that match.
And Dalton and Cody, I heard the finish came out of nowhere. No one expected it, and that one wasn't that good. This might have been, like, the best one in a while. I mean, I can't say that for sure, because I haven't seen any of them. But this match was great, and I've heard their World Title matches Ring of Honor lately have been disappointing. So
yeah.
I'm just... thinking maybe that's true, but
yeah, I mean, overall though, it was this was a really good, and who the fuck ever thought you'd see 2 4-star matches from the Beer City Bruiser?
Yeah, I know. he was really great. I really hope he comes back to New Japan sometime, because this weekend, you know, didn't make me want to shell out $50 for the next Ring of Honor pay-per-view or whatever, how much it costs. Like,
even well, no, they have a service.
It's mostly, oh, because it was mostly New Japan guys, but, yeah. You know, like, dude, so is it a monthly fee and you get all the Ring of Honor shows free?
No, you have to pay. It's a yearly thing. Oh. Like, to get the one with all the pay-per-views, I think, you have to pay, like, $120 a year. You have to buy it for the year.
Oh, I don't know about that. And but how many shows do they do a year on that?
But you don't, okay. I don't, just go read
it. Let me just ask one question, if you know all about this.
Do they have all
the past shows on there?
No.
Okay. No, but do they have, like,
they have a random few.
Edit a lot of music.
Yeah.
They'd have to edit a lot of
entrances. I mean, they would probably just edit out the entrances.
I mean, I don't know if anyone will give a shit. And who sang Clavicle? You think they're looking for... I know you guys talk about that a lot. That was the stupidest thing. Matt Sydal came out to that fucking song.
Clavicle!
About a guy kissing his girlfriend's clavicle. And I'm like, what? Why are you coming out?
Why not?
No. Don't. Like, this. That's, Matt Sydal sat down. What would be a good wrestling theme song? Clavicle! There you go. Like, brilliant. Like, why not come out? You know.
Clavicle. Look, okay, this is the same guy.
I like the Young Bucks better. This is the
same. This is the same guy who is like, "No, I want to bring some drugs, Japan."
Yeah, well, yeah, that was pretty stupid too.
They don't buy pot in Japan.
No, they don't care. Except that they banned Paul McCartney from ever performing there again or something, like. So, no.
But they will ban me.
No, I'm Matt Sydal,
the former ever born.
You know. What did they used to call him? Didn't they have some other nickname for him, kind of like Gravity Man that Gravity forgot from him?
But
they
called Pac.
Him, I know, but they called him something. They called him something.
I don't know. Amazing. Who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, this match was awesome. It was like okay. I want to throw this out there. There were 2 3-ways on this weekend. One was Hiromu Kushida and Flip Gordon. And the other one was Dalton Castle, the Beer City Bruiser, and Beretta. And this one was like a million times better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, it was the Beer City Bruiser, like, at one point, who gave, I think he gave Beretta, like, a Deathfly Driver on the apron, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was, like, that took him out. And then, he hits a fucking, or it was on Dalton Castle, I think. But then he hits that fucking Milwaukee Best Splash, the Fox Splash,
yeah,
on Beretta. And for a second, you're like, is Beer City Bruiser about to win the Ring of Honor World
title? I thought so, yeah. I thought it made no sense to me how Beretta could kick out of that.
Yeah.
Because then Beretta's like dead and he can't even move, and I'm like, then how was he able to kick out? I don't know if that was, I know they wanted to give us the idea, oh my god, he's gonna win, but
yeah,
then it made no sense for him to kick out.
Yeah.
I thought Dalton would appear out of nowhere and break up the pin,
but no, he just kicked out.
He just kicked out, but then he couldn't even stand up and he couldn't even move, and they're like, oh, he's dead. I'm like, well, he wasn't dead enough to kick out, but whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was a pretty awesome,
and I thought it was, well, you know
what?
I thought Beretta should have taken the pin since he's leaving, but you know.
Beer City Bruiser.
Yeah. I want to see a rematch. If they put that on pay-per-view, I'd think about
Dalton
buying that Dalton Beer City Bruiser.
Dalton,
I'd be like, you know what? Maybe.
Dalton gave him a German suplex hole, and that was the pin.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But the crowd, like, when...
When Beer City Bruiser added a match, the crowd was like, yeah!
The crowd was like nuts. They were like so happy. And he was like, yeah, they like me. And it's like, yeah, I'm really... That was great.
He's by far the breakout star of the weekend.
He definitely
they should
was.
Do something with him around a lot of them.
They really should.
But
he's never did singles matches from what I've seen. When I used to watch the weekly television show, usually he was just there for Solias.
Yeah.
You know, just there ringside. So let's put him in the heavyweight tag division. Him and Young Bucks.
Yeah. Then the main event, which was the Golden Lovers taking on the team of Cody and Marty Scurll. They went 20 minutes. Ibushi, you apparently they're calling it the Golden Star Trigger, right?
I think so.
The double V trigger and Kamigoye on Marty Scurll, and Ibushi was the one who got the pin. Okay. So, first of all, Kenny Omega's name in canon now, New Japan canon, he's no longer announced as a cleaner. He's introduced as a Best Bout Machine.
Yeah.
Now, my theory is the Best Bout Machine is a babyface character, whereas the cleaner's a heel character.
Sure.
So it changes.
Better than the cleaner. I thought the cleaner was kind of dumb.
So. Do you ever read the story about why he kept trying to explain the name and no one understood it? And so he just started literally coming out with, like, the broom and everything.
Yeah,
because.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So early on in the match, Cody like tries some springboard thing where he tries to jump over the fucking apron, and Cody, he almost like fucking broke like his leg
in this match. Yeah, he jumps over. I was like, what the fuck is he doing? And he, his feet, his leg lands on the apron on the other side. I'm like, what the fuck was that? Like, I don't know.
Look,
that was weird.
I think it's good for his fucking character that this man isn't very good.
Okay.
He's a 3-star savior, just like what.
And
just
Jinder
like what
Mahal
Kenny
should be your favorite wrestler
no,
in the world.
Because Jinder Mahal's not supposed to suck. Is it Jinder Mahal's character that he's not that good in the ring? Is that Jinder Mahal's character?
I think it should be.
Well, it's not, so it's completely different. And Cody's not as bad as Jinder Mahal anyway. Right. Fuck off. But I just mean he should be kind of a goofball. He should be trying to do moves that he can't do. I thought he was good on these two shows, but I think he's a perfect villain. Like
there
for
was also
Kenny
that
Ibushi.
Other spot in the match where he had Ibushi in the corner, I think, and he like flipped himself for no reason.
Yeah, that
I
was
like,
that was
the
really
fuck
funny.
Was that? Like, did he forget
they,
where it was?
They had like a miscommunication.
I was
like,
does he have like is he have what his brother had? Like, I don't know. Like, that was just weird.
He like did a move up by himself. It was really funny. But yeah, so Kenny, like at one point, Kenny saved Kota Ibushi from taking the fucking crossroads on the floor to the, like to the fucking exposed floor because
yeah,
he had exposed
yeah.
the like pulled off the ring mats, and then right
awesome.
After that, Marty Scurll used the crossroads on Kenny. I thought that was like symbolism, him being like making his selection.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this was the night too where he actually did the finger snap.
He
on
did
Kenny.
The finger snap on
so
Kenny.
So it
he's
seems
made
like
his decision.
It seems like he's made his fucking decision. But yeah, there's some really cool symbolism in this match. And then speaking of the big symbolism, Cody, like, first we told Marty Scurll, get him up, I'm going to kiss him. Mm. Marty looked on his face like, what the fuck? Like, Marty was, he was just like, what am I being told to do? What is happening? And then Cody does give Ibushi this kiss. This kiss got Ibushi fired up.
Yeah.
Now, this kiss was like, this is a kiss from his non-lover. So he was very angry to be kissed by someone other than his lover.
A match in like DDT or something where to win you had to kiss your opponent or something that was like a tap out. Or something.
I
read
so.
About that. But.
Yeah. But so the Cody kiss got Ibushi all fired up, and then after that they went to the finish, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
So
post match.
I thought the match was 4.25. I loved this match a lot. Even though Cody fucked up a couple of times.
I like the match.
I
won a lot better.
I still thought the match was fucking awesome.
No.
But I don't know. We can disagree on this, I guess. But these are two really good shows.
Yeah,
I think.
Pretty good shows.
Pretty
better
damn
than
good.
I thought they'd be.
I don't know. You were really down on these shows
yeah,
going in. Can
yeah.
Can I hear I was wrong?
I was kind of wrong.
You were pretty wrong.
I don't think they're as good as you thought they were going to be. But
I thought they were
going to
be really good, and
they were
pretty damn good. Anyway. After the match, of course, was the post-match angle. So Kenny calls he and Cody the best tag team, or he and Ibushi the best tag team in the world.
So you knew it was coming.
They had sort of teased us on Being the Elite, which I know you don't watch that.
No.
I started watching it ever since this angle started because a lot of this angle's taking place on Being the Elite, so I want to keep up with it. They were on a plane, and Cody like sort of planned to see where he told Matt, he's like, Kenny said you were the best junior tag team of all time. Or best junior tag team in the world or something. And Matt just looks at him. He's like, he said that? He said the qualifier junior? He's like, yeah, but Trey didn't mean anything by it. In other words, he planted in Matt's head that Kenny only thinks they're the best junior tag team. And he kind of egged them on earlier, too, and told them, like, you know, you guys should go heavyweight.
Yeah.
So they came out at the end, and they were like, look, we were trying to stay out of this. You know, you came to room 710, which is that was another Being the Elite reference. They showed up at his room. Kenny and Ibushi showed up at the room and made like a peace offering. He's like, he was like, that was your, you know, you show up at the room, made a peace offering, and we accepted it. But then when you just came out, you called you and Ibushi the best tag team in the world, and you're not. We're the best tag team in the world. So you know they then announced they were moving up to heavyweight, and that was it. They didn't announce that they were fighting, but it's pretty clear. Those two teams are going to have a match.
And probably in Long
Beach. Probably
in
Long
Beach. That would make the most sense.
Yeah, that's what I would think too. So I imagine the announcement will come any day now probably. But yeah, I mean, that'd be two pretty good matches already. Three.
If that's the match, they really should have booked a bigger building. Like, really. Like,
yeah.
I knew the set. Everyone else was like, ugh. I was like, when I booked that building, I'm like, they should book something much bigger. This is going to sell out real fast. And no one believed me, but I was right as always. So, you know, I knew that would sell out real quick. Like 20 minutes, right? That's only because the website crashed.
Yeah. Most of the tickets were gone in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, when the main promotion is as bad as it is,
Why not try this? Next year, you guys got to try the Staples Center, I think. But even if you don't sell it out, I think you'll do better than TNA has done, like, ever.
Well,
they're already almost there, I know. But.
I mean, what's TNA's biggest crowd ever? I don't even know. Like, biggest paying crowd?
Don't know.
Did they maybe they drew, like...
I think they've at least passed 10,000 a few times.
Did they really?
I think they did. I could be dead wrong. I thought... With the amount of talent they've had at one point and weekly TV, you think they would have had to when they had Hogan and Sting?
No, they definitely didn't. They might have done it like that one show in Dallas is the only one I'm thinking of. I can't remember how well it did. It was like half of it was sold on like fucking nostalgia for the Von Erichs.
Oh, okay.
But I don't remember
how many people were at the show we were at lockdown.
Probably like around the same, like 4,000 or 5,000.
Okay,
wasn't that many. But yeah, that was my one TNA paper that you and I both attended lockdown. Yeah. But yeah, so two pretty good shows.
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy with both shows. And yeah, I don't know. Do you want to talk about anything else? Because it would be like my shortest episode ever.
Okay, well, what did you want to...
What else do you want to talk about? Let's see. What do you think of the upcoming anniversary show? I guess you could preview that card.
That looks really good. I'm really looking forward to Suzuki and Makabe. I've been looking forward to it for a while. Yeah. Osprey and Okada should be great. What else is on that? Those are the two key
matches. Naito and Taichi, which is the biggest match of all time.
I forgot that for a reason.
Which is the greatest match I've ever seen, and I'm really excited. There's also a three-way junior tag team title match. Sho and Yo against Hiromu Ibushi and Desperado Katamaro. That'd probably be really good. Yoshihashi against Sanada. That could be good. The last Nakanishi Kitamura match.
So who are Sho and Yo defending against?
Hiromu Ibushi and Desperado Kanemaru.
Yeah, that should be really good.
Yeah. But I can't wait for Naito and Taichi. Very excited. You didn't see their first match at the Ataka Taichi Mania. It was fucking
sure
awesome.
Did not.
Do you have any idea he's going to win the New Japan Cup?
I had some ideas, but I was just thinking it as who has Okada not defended against. And because I'm assuming whoever wins will pick Okada.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, okay, so
you're talking
Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah.
I was thinking if he's in it, he hasn't defended.
Well, he hasn't been around.
Exactly. So I won't. Kota Ibushi, he hasn't. I mean, he had the match with spoiler alert, everybody. But I hope this won't create another scandal. But Tiger Mask W, I've been told, was Kota Ibushi.
Tiger Mask Double.
Double. So, but he wasn't Kota Ibushi at the time, and it wasn't for the title. So he technically hasn't really defended against Ibushi. They keep saying Juice Robinson, but on commentary, but like
Okada Juice Robinson is gonna main event Sakura Genesis.
Juice Robinson, then it'll be like, yeah, I fought for all four singles titles and lost. Because that'll be the last one he hasn't fought for yet.
Yeah.
And he's lost all of them, and then there's the one I really want to see, Ishii, and they had been pushing. You know, when Jay White said that shit, you know, they could do the storyline where Ishii makes it to the finals and says, "Oh, I'll challenge for the IC title, because that's the only title that isn't carried by a member of my unit," and then he wins the thing, and then he says, "You know what, Okada, I want to face you."
Yeah.
Fuck that shit. You know, I beat you in the G1 and never got a title match 2 years ago. Like, I want to face you. That would be an awesome thing to do, but I don't know if they'll do that. But those, I can't really think of anybody else, really.
I mean, you could have Kenny win and do another Okada Kenny.
Yeah, but you
want
to do that already? Like,
yeah.
I guess you could, but. I thought that might be the main
Could have Tanahashi come back?
Yeah, I heard he might be back by then. I mean, people are saying, but you think Tanahashi came back, he would right away go for Suzuki.
But Okada's about to break his record.
Yeah, I know. That's the other thing. Like, everyone's thinking that the match where he would break his record would be defending against Tanahashi.
Or tie the record, which would be the next
one. One of the two. But, yeah, they could do that too, but he hasn't faced Tanahashi in a long time. That draw.
You could have Jay White win it and challenge Okada.
No, he won't be in it. And I heard that's going to be one of the new titles you can challenge if you win.
Okay.
So, did Okada say he wants to be in it, or was that like mistranslated?
No, it was mistranslated. He just said he'll defend against whoever wins it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There was a lot of confusion there. So he didn't say he was going to be in it. Okay.
I mean, you really could have... I mean, it seems a little early, but you could have Naito win.
Yeah, but that's way too early, I think. And then Naito would probably just lose again, because Okada's got to beat... I think Okada might won't drop the title at least before next year's Tokyo
Dominion.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. You know, the people have been saying that for a long time. I still think there's a chance he's still champion after all this time at next year's Dome show.
I hope
not. And then he retains again against Omega probably or something. I mean,
is he just going to beat the entire promotion five times each?
He might. They want to make him like the biggest star like in the history of Japanese wrestling is Ghetto's goal, like to make him like more famous than like all these other names like, you know, Inoki and everybody. So
best of luck to him with that.
Yeah, but
So I guess that's it for New Japan. Do you want to talk? Do you want to share any more old school Ring of Honor stories?
Well, which one?
I don't know. Give me a story.
Name one.
You name one.
Have you ever told the story about Julius Smokes at the show we went to, the party after the show?
Yes.
With the stolen DVD.
I might have told this, but you can tell it better. So go ahead, tell it.
Where I believe it was Night of Tribute, the tribute to Eddie Guerrero. He had just died like a month ago. I remember the main event, there was...
Long Island.
The main event was going to be Bryan Danielson defending against the winner of a three-way. AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, and Matt Sydal. And you looked at that and said, I wonder who's taking the pin. But Daniels won.
Yeah.
Faced him in the main event, whatever. The show afterwards, there was this like this party thing, dinner after the show in the building. And you had to pay to get in. And I think some of the money might have went to Guerrero's family or something. I don't remember the story, but you did have to pay to get in. The wrestlers didn't, though. I think everyone working for Ring of Honor, everything was paid for. If you paid to get in, you got free food and soda, and I think you had to pay for alcohol.
Yeah.
People. Ring of Honor, everyone working for Ring of Honor got everything paid for. But and we had a grab bag, like, because it was like in November, so
yeah,
it was like Christmas was coming. If you brought a gift, then you could, you know, you get your name put in a hat, and then they go in order, and you can pick whatever gift from the table. And getting there was a Toys R Us across the street. And I decided to buy a wrestling action figure to put in it. And I looked at all the figures and said, who's the best wrestler of these? Here we go, Chris Benoit. So that was my... This was... Mom, this was before it happened, okay? But this was like 2005, so right after Eddie died. So, yeah, that was my contribution. I think I picked a low-key shirt. I don't remember what you got, but Larry Dallas brought the sex tape of Paris Hilton as the gift. And before we did the grab bag, it disappeared. It was just gone from the table.
Yeah.
And everyone was pretty pissed off. The guy running it, Greg
it was One Edge, Night in Paris. Right?
One Night in Paris or some shit.
Yeah.
And he was like, what happened? We were like, we don't know. And we did the grab bag, whatever. And then I think it was, you know, they found out some guy was in there and hadn't paid to get in. Some random guy just wandered in and started eating and drinking and... They're like, you gotta pay. And he's like, I don't want, no one told me that. And they got into kind of a fight.
Yeah.
And his bag was sitting out, and Julius Smokes walked by and just saw the Paris Hilton porno sitting in his bag. Now, Julius Smokes had no idea about this DVD disappearing.
Yeah.
He just saw this porno DVD. He's like, I'm gonna look at it. And grabbed it and like yelled over, Homicide, look at this. And then Greg says, that's the DVD that disappeared. And the guy was like, hey, give me my DVD back. And Julius is like, right now you're talking to head of security, Julius Smokes. And, we have to have a talk right now. How'd this get in your bag if this was supposed to... So, I know...
I don't remember his answer?
No, he found that later.
Okay.
Then had... Greg was fighting with him, trying to get him to pay. I think he gets to get him to pay eventually. Julius, I don't know if he had something to drink or if he was just being himself, but he was getting really riled up there, trying to calm him down. He was, like, yelling thief at the guy.
Yeah, he's like, thief!
Like he was going to start
thief.
A fight. So security gets the guy out of there. They walk him out. He's, like, complaining. And, you know, Julius starts saying, he had to go, Gregory. Like, we all sat there in silence for a while, and then all of a sudden he just said, he had to go, Gregory.
Yeah, it's Greg H. who was, like, organizing the thing. He had to go, Gregory.
So security comes back, and they just say... Yeah, he said he bought it at the merchandise table during the show. Yeah,
he said he bought the pornographic film of Paris Hilton at the Ring of Honor
merchandise
table.
Yeah. We got some Ring of Honor DVDs, WrestleMania, porn, you know.
I don't think that was
selection.
True.
No, it wasn't. And I can't believe he thought they would fall for that. That's my most memorable story from like Ring of Honor shows, basically. That is the hilarious night I'll never forget.
Thief!
He was not happy. He was head of security that night. He was not going to have it.
Oh, it was a great time going to all those Ring of Honor shows. The glory days of Ring of Honor, right?
Definitely the glory days. Yeah,
but
I'll never forget the night Joe dropped the title to Aries. The crowd went
people were crying.
Insane. The night we thought was Punk's farewell. That twist where you know he said. Yeah. I'm not leaving yet. And then Daniels came out. That was a night I'll never forget. There was some awesome moments going to those shows.
You know, getting to see Kobashi and Misawa and all those guys that we never would have seen otherwise.
Brian Danielson winning the title from Jamie Noble. That was great.
Although you were pissed at him at the time.
No, I loved him.
When he won the title from Jamie Noble, was when he went to Europe and he said like, I'm tired of Ring of Honor fans because all I want are near falls. And you were like, near falls are my favorite thing.
No, so but I was so happy when he came back.
Oh, okay. You're full of shit.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
I was going insane when he won the title. I was cheering. That was like my match of the year. You don't... I hated him before that, like when I first started watching.
Okay.
But, you know, as time went
on. But you were
on,
pissy about him saying that thing about near
was
falls.
I? I don't even remember this, for sure.
But yeah, so Ring of Honor. Those are the days, huh?
Yeah,
this weekend did not make me want to watch Ring of Honor. It's like, wow, the best guy on the show is a guy that they don't even push.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, Jay Lethal was Jay Lethal. You know, he was fine, but, like, nothing. You know, I was there when he won
former
the title.
AWA champion.
You were talking about AWA. So there was this promotion that, like, ran... they ran like what, like the
a closet,
like a closet on a fucking
in Union
like,
City,
the sixth floor in some apartment building.
Chikara, I think, ran that.
Chikara ran it bigger.
Was it a different room? This room was like the size of this bedroom I'm sitting in.
It was very, very.
So
small.
Obviously, the wrestling ring takes up a lot. There was like it was us and Jay Lethal's family.
Yeah, and Loki was in the audience too,
sitting next to us. So and we're like, what? The biggest star is sitting in the audience by far.
So Jay Lethal, I don't know, what year was this? Do you know?
2004 or 2005.
Yeah. So Jay Lethal, way before he was ever here on Ring of Honor, he was the heel here in AWA.
And it was weird.
And it was really weird. And the people giving him the most heel here by far was his own family.
Yeah.
Like they
his
were,
father was really.
They loved him. Going to the show and booing Jay Lethal.
Oh,
and like
God.
his father keeps saying about, because he used to work at Stop and Shop.
Yeah, they
I
kept
guess.
Yelling. I think his sister kept yelling, chop him like you chopped that meat because he worked in the deli or something at Stop and Shop or something.
And then his dad yelled, like, give him the Stop and Shop
drop or something. No, that was a fan. Some random fan that was there. And I think. You know, before the main event, he told the announcer, Jay Lethal would love everyone to know that those people in the back are not his family. They are not related to him. And someone said in the audience said, you better find a new ride to Boston. His family drove him everywhere, and he had a Ring of Honor show in Boston coming up. But Cheech and Cloudy were in the audience, too, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Which was weird. But that was, like, seeing Loki, like, sitting next to us and, like, what? The show with like 10 people. I mean, it was like right outside of New York City, so it wasn't a far drive for him, I'm sure. And he was probably just visiting friends, but yeah.
Yeah, it was funny. Wonder if they charged him.
I don't think. Considering at one point he just walked backstage through the entrance ramp after a match, You took me to a lot of random indie shows.
The show where.
In Newark?
No, I was going to think of the one in PW Elite where you rang the bell.
Oh, PW Elite? No, I was the ring crew.
So there was no... They didn't have a ring belt this
for
show?
For the first show, they did not. Second show starts, they still don't.
Yeah. And, like, at one point, there was, like... So, it was, like, on a stage in a theater. That's where this was.
Yeah.
And there was, like, a coat hanger lying on the ground.
And this guy we knew, I don't remember his name, found a metal bar for me.
Yeah.
This guy that we used to go to shows with. And I started ringing the... Banging the... metal coat rack with the metal bar.
It was close to sound like a bell.
Yeah, and like the referee started like calling for me. Chris Hero made fun of me
because he was like, "Oh, that's a bell."
I was like, "What do you want?" And then, you know, after one of the matches where they kept wrestling, you know, they kept fighting. After the match was over, I would do the ding ding,
and the
ding,
ref
ding,
kept
ding,
pointing.
Yeah,
the ref
kept, come on, guys, like they do, and you know, like ringing the bell will make them stop. Like,
yeah, the ref kept pointing to Quinlan and kept telling him, like, ring the fucking bell.
That was the show that, like, kind of killed the promotion because no one was at that show. There was, like, it's funny looking back now that you remember who wrestled
like
on that
Milano,
show.
AJ
walked out and said to one of us, I'd like to thank all 10 of you for attending the show. And yeah, they had one more show after that, like an all women's show, and then it died.
Yeah, we didn't go to the women's
show. No, we didn't go to that one. But I'm thinking the one in Newark that you took me to, some random indie. I asked my parents, like, how dangerous can Newark be? And they said, well, as long as you stay near the Prudential Center, you're probably okay. You're in a nice part. And we get off the exit, and I see Prudential Center right. And I'm like, where do we go? And you said left. And I was like, fuck. And, you know, we drove by a supermarket surrounded in barbed wire. And I'm like, you know, if we can't find a spot, like, right in front of the building, we are not going to the show. But do you remember who was in the main event of that show?
I don't remember the show at
Kenny
all.
Kenny Omega.
Oh, really?
In a table, ladder, and chair match. I say that singular because there was only one table, one ladder, and one chair. But it was still... And this was when he was like... I don't think the guy went anywhere. It was for the title, and the other guy won. I think Kenny was champion going in. We had seen him before when he was JPW champion.
Yeah.
That was when he was still like... He was like... When they introduced him, he did the Sailor Moon pose and everything. He was introduced from like Pokemon Stadium or something.
Yeah, he said from the Pokemon Stadium.
And like... I think Teddy Hart and Jack Evans were on the show. But yeah, that was like 2008, I think. It was like a long time ago. But who knew he'd become...
So it was like right before he started full-time DET then.
Yeah, it was right before that.
Because
right
he said... He basically said... The way he got his start was he sent a video... to DDT, and he was like, "Hey, I want to challenge Ibushi," basically.
Yeah.
And he's like, and then they ended up DDT wanted to make them rivals, and they were just like, "Nah, we're gonna be partners actually." And he was like, "Okay, what do you want to call yourself?" Like the Golden Lovers. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
People still doubt the two of them are gay though. Are gay together. I mean, Kenny's bi.
But... Yeah, I believe that.
So, I don't know.
I don't know why people don't want to believe that. But...
People are homophobic.
I guess
that's why they don't want to believe that. All right. What else can we talk about? Let me think. Did you watch that two-hour?
Doesn't have to go 2 hours.
Did you watch that two-hour thing on Raw?
Which one?
The fucking gauntlet or whatever.
Oh yeah, that was actually pretty good.
It was decent. I mean, people keep. I had it on the background when I was recording. I will say, like, watching people freak the fuck out because, you know, oh, we got to see 2 hours of wrestling. It's like,
yeah,
I can see 2 hours of wrestling any fucking show I turn on.
These people that just watch Raw, they don't get that.
But I don't understand. Like, just watch. If all you're after is professional wrestling, if that's really all you want, just watch a New Japan show.
I know.
Watch anything.
Yeah.
There's a million promotions that are just 2 hours plus of wrestling every fucking show. You don't have to fucking wait for WWE to throw your bone like once every 10 years. It's so weird. It's like if that's what you're. I understand. Like if you like all the other pomp and bullshit, that's fine, but like if all you're after is just wrestling, there's a million places you can get just wrestling. Yeah. But I don't know, it was fine. But look, why the fuck was The Miz and Braun Strowman like a long competitive match?
I don't know.
Like when that started, I was just like,
because that's probably the match of WrestleMania.
What?
That's right now. I believe the plan is Miz versus Braun Strowman.
What the fuck?
That's what I heard. That's what I've been told. Like, I guess. You know, I know. You know, you probably think Braun would be over this by now. But if you remember, Miz did try to murder him by throwing him in a garbage. They probably won't mention that at all. They probably forgot it happened. If you're like Braun, you know he murdered you. He did. I forgot. Like, you think Braun would never want to forgive this guy for trying to kill him?
When Braun, I remember when they suspended Braun for like trying to kill Brock.
And Kane by throwing something on them, which they both survived, but Braun had been attempted to be murdered by Roman Reigns,
like,
and Miz.
Braun was probably like, well, attempted murder is clearly okay here.
Yeah.
Because they've done it to me twice. So I'm going to do it now, and then he gets suspended.
That never went anywhere, by the way. Yeah, because I think it's Miz and Braun, and because I think Braun was going to face Triple H, but now Triple H is probably in a mixed tag with him and Stephanie against Ronda and somebody. I keep hearing The Rock. I keep hearing Kurt Angle. I don't know. But I don't know if you know what they've been doing on SmackDown.
I
guess who they decided to take
SmackDown
off the show for 2 weeks.
Who? Nakamura?
No.
Who?
Who's the guy that gets the most chance every show?
I don't watch
Rusev.
Oh.
They took him off TV like 2 weeks in a row. When he gets, and the show, they're still chanting for him. But apparently they're like, fucking fans, you don't get to like who you like. So we're going to take him off.
Road Dogg's doing a great job with SmackDown.
Yeah.
He's doing a real great job. Yeah. I saw someone who usually watches WWE show. I think it was Bruiser Brady on Twitter who was like, anyone still watching SmackDown at this point is a pain slut.
Yeah, it's gotten much worse. It was the better show for a while, but now the only thing it has over Raw is that it's shorter. It's getting really stupid. I wish someone would tell me. People keep asking, where's this Bryan Danielson Shane McMahon thing going? Because Bryan Danielson can't wrestle, so it's not leading to a match. And I keep saying they don't know. They started this. I can almost guarantee one day this angle is just dropped without a conclusion, that like it never happened. Like kind of like the Triple H Stephanie Kurt thing just stopped one day and was never mentioned again.
Yeah.
That's what's gonna happen with this angle. I mean, some people say he's trying to make Bryan Danielson a heel, so when he leaves, people don't like him when he goes to another company. But, you know, having him, he's clearly the babyface in this.
Well, Well, that's gonna that's gonna work though. People are really gonna give a shit. People, yeah, I know. You know, I was gonna watch Brian Danielson in New Japan or Ring of Honor or whatever, but he was mean on SmackDown for 6 months.
When AJ Styles was being a complete fucking idiot, and saying like, "Why don't I face him in a three-way?" Okay, you're facing him in a three-way. What? I don't want to do that. Like, fucking stupid ass storylines that they did. But the Elimination Chamber is tomorrow.
I'm not really that surprised that Road Dogg doesn't know how to book, but I get, well, when people are listening to this, Elimination Chamber will be over.
Yeah, I guess you're gonna take.
I'm putting this out on Monday, so.
Okay. I wonder who won. I'm talking from the future. You know, Roman Reigns won.
Yeah.
We could talk about the results right now. If he doesn't win tomorrow, I'm gonna be like really shocked. Like,
yeah.
But that's the one match Vince McMahon is stuck on like for the last year and hasn't changed his mind on. So.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if he changed it like the morning of after like planning it for like all year.
Oh, like he did that. Remember the year that where they had that match and like they just had Seth run out and win.
Yeah,
I hope they do something like that again. Just Carmella has her briefcase. Just have her run out and finally cash in.
Have they even said like you can only cash in on the women's title? I don't think they said that.
Carmella could be the next Universal Champion.
Why not? You want to. Another breakthrough that Stephanie McMahon created for women. She'd have to come out and be the ref, though.
Like, no, she'd have to be like, they'd have to be like Stephanie. Have to come out and say a breakthrough, and then like talk for 10 hours, and then finally Carmella run in and win the Universal Title.
And she'd have to get the count,
present it to her. And then like, I take my picture.
She'll be like Hogan when Randy Savage won the title. She'll be in the ring the whole time and be in the center.
Remember the funniest thing of all time? Because that happened, remember how paranoid Shawn Michaels was when he won the title? He's like, tell Britta, get out!
Yeah, get the fuck out. Get him out. Undertaker did that when he beat Batista for the title. Yeah. He said, get him the fuck out of the ring or something. Yeah, well, I don't blame people for being paranoid about that after that happened.
Oh, WWE.
Yeah.
Are you excited for Mania to be in New York next year?
I forgot it was.
Yeah, it's probably in New York next year.
I'll be excited for the other shows. I look at some of the cards of these shows Mania weekend, and I'm like, I wish I was there just to go to these other shows.
Yeah.
Like, the WWN shows have some awesome cards, but, you know, I'll be... The last time they came around here, no one else wanted to go with me to any of these shows that were nearby. Oh, I don't care. I wanted to go to the... convention, and you didn't want to go to that or any of the shows like you and Sean. So maybe
we'll
you guys
find the
other
side of
the
country to go to Sean and I to go
I
to
know.
The
so
New Japan
maybe
show.
Maybe if they do good shows around here next year, you'll.
I mean, I figure I'll probably go to whatever the New Japan guys are on. If they're bringing any other Japanese guys, I don't really give a shit about American indies. So I don't know if I really care about like, but like this year they're bringing in, what's his name?
Sekimoto
and Sawa too. Yeah. So, like, I would probably like if these shows were happening in my backyard, I'd probably go to.
Who is Ospreay facing? He's facing somebody big.
I don't know.
And Riddle is facing.
You're asking the wrong guy. I have no idea. But the point is, though, next year I'm sure we'll go to a bunch of shows.
Yeah.
I wonder where they're all gonna run though.
Because
last time when they did this, like there was only like the one con thing. Now it's like. WWN and WrestleCon and all the random shit and Ring of Honor. Like, I'm sure Ring of Honor will run the Hammerstein, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, where is, like, you know, that are they going to still... Someone's going to claim that Secaucus thing again, probably. That
well, didn't they do, like, thing. Shows all day there? Like, promotion after promotion after promotion?
Yeah, but now it's split, though, I'm
oh,
saying.
Yeah.
Now it's the WWN one and the WrestleCon one, so someone else is going to have to find another venue.
Yeah, I guess. But, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can wrap this up now.
Mm.
Do you have anything you want to plug, Quinlan?
I guess my Twitter.
What's your Twitter?
I'm_not_Quinlan.
Do you want to tell the story of that?
That's a long story.
No, it's not that long of a story, actually. So you were playing Smash Brothers.
This was like in high school.
Yeah, a long time ago.
The original Smash Brothers on N64.
Yeah.
I was playing Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
And one of my friends said, Who's Samus?
Yeah.
And someone else said, you know, oh, I think Quinlan's playing Samus. And I meant to yell out, I'm not Samus. Instead, I just blurted out, I'm not Quinlan.
I'm not Quinlan.
And they're like, what? So that just became a thing.
And you've kept that fucking handle for like 20 years or so.
Yeah, a long time. Well, I helped by, like, I make that my screen name. That was my screen name in AIM, which confused people. I was able to fool people into thinking
that
it wasn't me. That's a story no one will get.
No, but I gotta tell it anyway. That guy There was this guy that used to go to the anime club that we were all in, who was like the biggest fucking dumbass.
We've met some people recently.
Oh, he's pretty. He's high up there though, and we Quentin was able to confuse him by like you were like. Message him on AIM, all this like weird shit.
Yeah, because I found out his AIM name and I just messaged him and I was like, "Oh, hey, Steve," and he was like, "Who is this?" And I was like, "Oh, it's a mystery." And my name was I'm not Quinlan.
Yeah. So the next time at the club, like he went up and asked you, right? And then yeah, you were like
some guy messaged me. His name was I'm not Quinlan. Was that you? And he was like, "Well, if the name was I'm not Quinlan, it couldn't have been me." He's like, "Yeah, I thought that." I was like, yeah, I don't know who it was then. If it clearly says it's not me, so it can't be me. And he's like, yeah.
You're not allowed to lie on AIM screen.
He figured it out eventually, you know, used his powers of deduction. Eventually, like months later, no, it's you. I know it's you.
Like, okay. It only took him like 2 months.
Yeah.
So, this is the same guy when we went to that Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament. He like, what did he like, got in a fight with a small child?
He did?
Do you remember that? He was like, oh no, you know what I'm thinking of? At Otakon.
He got into a fight with that Pokemon.
No, I think he did get in a fight with a child at a Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament too. I just remember our friend Henry telling us a story where like, oh, were you there for this too? When at the quiz show at Otakon?
Yes, I was there for that.
They're like throwing these Pokeballs into the audience with candy in them.
Some shit.
And Quinlan, like, you like look to your left?
No, I look to the right. You know, we're about to ready to start the show up again. Everyone's getting quiet. Then all of a sudden, boom, 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 these two guys are wrestling over this Pokeball. Steve and this other guy.
This Pokeball, okay?
Humongous guy.
This probably has like, what, like probably
like
50
a hard
cents?
Candy.
Like 50 cents worth of candy in it. And these two full grown men, because Steve was always older than us. Like,
we don't know. No, but I think he was. He was about to graduate, so yeah, I think he was.
And these two full-grown men are just fucking wrestling over this Pokeball in the fucking aisleway. Everybody just kind of looked at them.
It grew really quiet. Like, we all just watched.
I mean, I guess it ties into the topic. They were wrestling.
They were wrestling. Yeah, I guess you can say that.
Oh, that was a good time. Oh, all right, we should wrap this up. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I don't know what the next step. Well, actually, no. You know what? I do know what the next episode will be because I recorded it already. The next episode you'll hear is our e-wrestling episode, which is episode 36. It's already been recorded. It was me, Rich Kraich, and Michael Spears. You know, Rich, of course, from the Voice Wrestling flagship. So that is already done. It's already recorded, and boom, everything's done. It's scheduled to go up exactly 1 week from today. I did that because I'm going to be in Spain.
Oh, yeah.
I'm leaving for Spain on Wednesday. So
when are you coming back?
Like 8 days later, so like the following Thursday. So after that, the episode I'm recording after the episode I'm recording next, that'll be after the e-wrestling one, I'm gonna have on Chris Charlton. I don't know if you know who that is, but
I've heard
he's at Reason JP.
Okay.
He's like the New Japan translator.
Oh yeah.
So like he works for them doing all the translation stuff, and he's gonna be promoting his new book, which is I think called, oh god, I should know this. Eggshells, I think it's called. It's about the Tokyo Dome shows, basically.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, I'm gonna interview him about his new book, and
check that out.
It'll be fun. Talk about all about the Tokyo Dome shows. He also wrote Lion's Pride, which
he wrote that. I've heard so much about that.
Yeah, I downloaded it.
When did that book come out?
A few years ago now.
I need a great.
I downloaded it on my Kindle.
Is there
read
a print
the,
copy like hard copy?
I'm sure there probably is.
For that.
But yeah, I downloaded it to read on my flight to Spain, so I'll hopefully read that before I talk to him. But yeah, I've heard good things about the book, too.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about the book, so yeah, I've been planning to... I have a lot of wrestling books to catch up on, like 3 biographies came out last year. Like, I really want to read the new Brian Pillman one, I heard is really good. And the Jim Ross one, I'm sure, is very interesting, so I need to get that, too, so...
Yeah, I don't read a lot of wrestling books, but the last one I think I read was like Death of WCW Heroes.
That is one of that and Bret Hart's book are probably my two favorites. But like Jericho's books and Foley's books are great too. But and also Edge's book, no one talks about, that was great, and William Regal's book was really great. But
yeah, you read way more of these than I do. I don't really read that many.
Yeah, that's how I know the Earth is round because I read books. So you know, that's how I know a lot of things that some people in this country do not. But let's not get into that.
The Flat Earth Troop. Yeah. All right. Thank you for listening to Wrestling Omakase. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at WrestleOmakase. Wrestle, not wrestling. Wrestling when I'm fit. You can also
Should
find
be called
us
called Entertainment.
No.
Omakase?
No.
Sports Entertainment.
S-E omakase.
Oh, did you hear, like, a week ago, I think it was Angle, somebody accidentally said wrestlers instead of, and they had to correct themselves? I don't remember who it was. Someone was doing a promo, and they're like, well, people want to see these wrestlers, I mean superstars, in the, like, he was probably like, oh, fuck, like, I can't call it that. Like,
yeah.
Try to explain that, I think, to our friend Ethan, where you're like, you're not allowed to say wrestling, and he's like, isn't it called World Wrestling Entertainment? And you're like, yeah. And he's like, but you can't say wrestling. We're like, yeah. And he's like, that doesn't make any sense. And we're like, we know. It's like, we can't explain this group to, like, people that have never seen it. Like, so many things don't make sense. Like, you can't say
Belt, right? I think
you can't say belt. You can't. Yeah. It's like watching NFL and they couldn't say football. They had to call it, like, throw ball or something. Or like,
throwing event.
Yeah, throwing sporting event.
Yeah.
No, throwing entertainment.
Throwing entertainment. All right, everybody. But yeah, so the next episode you hear was e-wrestling, which is, if you don't know what e-wrestling is, boy, you're in for a treat. That episode was really fun. You'll enjoy it. And the next episode after that will be the one with Chris Charlton, as I just talked about. Probably our biggest guest, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a guy, you know, he's got a lot of Twitter followers and stuff. And then after that, we'll see. But in the meantime, as long as I don't die in a fiery plane crash, either on the way to or back from Spain, I guess I'll see you guys. You know, I'll talk to all you guys again in a few weeks. All right. Bye, everybody. Thanks for coming on, Quinlan.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye.
Bye.